Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 To you the divine word of truth. I hope and pray that all was well in your family circle, and I hope all continually to be well with you and yours. I would like to take this opportunity to just thank you for allowing me to come into your work area. Thank you for allowing me to come into your workspace. Thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Oldership of Zion on your podcast. I just thank those of you that were able to tune in on tonight, and may God bless you, you and you around the spectrum. We're going to go now and acknowledge those of you that have lost loved ones. We want to send our condolences out to you, you and you. To just let you know that in your hour of bereavement, you are not alone. We come to encourage your heart that when you cry, Jesus cries as well. And we as saints of God, we cry with you as well. So we just want you to be encouraged, and may God just ignite your spirit and restore restoration where despair is in its place. And we'll just be praying for you and with you that Jesus will make everything well as only he can do. May God richly bless you and you and you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to go now on into our intro prayer. We come across with an intro prayer every time that we come across these airwaves. And we have one thing in mind, and that is acknowledging Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's our soon coming Messiah. And we overhear the ship, old ship of Zion. We want to acknowledge Jesus in everything that we do. So we're asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again around the spectrum, God. For we know that this earthly soil that we tread on is not our eternal home, God. We know that you have line in wait, line in reserve, a mansion that's not built by mortal man. But you are his architect, you are his creator, God. Until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will continue to come and go as pilgrims through this barren land. I have a prayer petition on my heart tonight, God, and that is a masking of you, if you will, Father God, to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know you and the pardons of their iniquity. I'm also asking you, Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls, God. Those that are hurting, God. Those that just look black rebels just follow them wherever they go. We know that weeping endures for a night, but we know that joy cometh in the morning. Father God, we're asking you to touch those, God, that are hurting deep within the penny of their souls. Father God, to be so mindful to give your name the glory and all the praise, God. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will allow the church to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking about, on last evening, our sermon was and has and is and continually to be Jesus, the Lord Christ, up close and personal. Tonight we're talking about Jesus of life. And we're going to take you into a journey through the life of Jesus Christ. And we talked about his name, we talked about his birth, we talked about his childhood, and now we're talking about his adult life. Well, so we're just asking you, if you will, to get your pens and your papers, your tablets, your iPod, your iPad, your iPhones, and your nooks, and whatever you have that you would like to just, you know, read along with us and take notes, if you will. And just get you a comfortable seat and a pillow to position your posture. Get your chip and your dip and everything to sip. And allow me to bring you the divine word of God. And so we know that we're talking now about Jesus of the life. Hallelujah. And we find out that Jesus' work and his teaching, wherever he went, provoked an almost immediate response. We were told that people were amazed, and yet they did not know how to respond. His hometown of Nazareth quickly rejected him when he expounded Israel in the local synagogue. He stated that the prophecy was being fulfilled in their midst, Luke 4:16-30. And as we traveled, the crowd wanted to see more miracles. The religious leader became more and more concerned as the crowd began to follow Jesus in ever-increasing numbers. And as they began to see more clearly the fundamental challenge Jesus was offering to some of their most converted traditions. For example, they were concerned that he healed on the Sabbath. That scripture reading coming out of the law, Mark 3:1-6, and then 20-30, Matthew 12:1-8. Disciples and even Jesus' family showed how little they understood of all that was going on. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Mark 3:31, 34, 4, 10, 20, 7-17, and then 23rd. And then John 7:1-13. The scripture reading again is Mark 3:31-34. Then 4:10-20. 7:17. And then on to 23. And then John 7:1-13. Jesus' ministry was not reserved during this time only for the Jewish people in John's gospel. But we read of a very early incident, probably as Jesus moved up north of Galilee, following his baptism, in which he preached to the Samaritans. After listening to Jesus, many were amazed at his teaching and responded with an understanding that was not shown among the Jews. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. That scripture reading can be found in the law of John 4:42. We know that the woman at the well, hallelujah, later during the Galilean ministry, as pressure again built up again from the religious leaders, Jesus moved on into the area of Tyre, into Galilee territory. And what especially significant during this brief trip was Jesus' encounter with the Syro woman who had a demon-possessed daughter. She was a Greek, but she begged Jesus to cast out the demon. Jesus' response indicated his mission was to the people of Israel. The woman, however, persisted, demonstrating an amazing level of faith and understanding of Jesus' mission and his power. He healed the daughter, revealing again that though his current mission was to the people of Israel, the good news of the kingdom of God and salvation would indeed be for all people and not just for one race. And as his life moved on, the next major turning point in Jesus' ministry, in his travel, Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi. By the stage, the disciples had been taught much and had seen much. So Jesus asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Mark 8:27-29. And then Matthew 16:17 records Jesus' reply. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not, hallelujah, revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." And the disciples had at least understood at least something of Jesus' true position. From that time forward, the gospel writers informed us that Jesus began to set his face for Jerusalem and teach that, hallelujah, he would have to suffer and die. In other words, having elicited the right reply, hallelujah, from Peter, Jesus is the Christ or Messiah. He now set about redefining that temporary understanding of what a Messiah would be like. Peter was quite unable to accept this way forward and objected most strongly. He suffered a very severe rebuke from the Lord. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." That scripture reading can be found in the law of Matthew 16:23. The difference in Jesus' understanding of his calling to be Messiah and the public perception became more and more pronounced as Jesus moved toward Jerusalem. On entering Jerusalem, he was hailed as an arriving Messiah. But it was the same crowd who came a few days later for his death. The faithful disciples deserted him to a man as the suffering and persecution reached its great climax during the last hour of his life. And at his end, Jesus' mission, the whole purpose of his adult life, was to be accomplished all alone on the cross, bearing the punishment of sinful men and women. On himself, as even his heavenly Father forsook him at the moment of dereliction. Jesus' teaching covered almost every area of life. Some of it was aimed just at his disciples and some of the people as a whole. Some of his teaching arose in an environment of confrontation with the religious leader of his day. And other teachers was given by way of interpretation of the miracles he performed. Jesus taught by word and by actions. Hallelujah. And then also we will talk about the teaching and then the parables that he used. And we know that Jesus' teaching about himself is given in words and actions. From the start, he was aware of his mission and purpose in life and in death. But he quickly demonstrated, hallelujah, a unique relationship with God. From the incident at 12 years old, where he revealed such wisdom and his need to be in his Father's house, through to his insistence that the word he spoke and the deeds he performed were the Father's work and words. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of John 4:14-10. And all he said pointed to his unique standing as the Son of God. His Father was a heavenly Father whom he had an intimate and personal knowledge. His great prayer for his disciples and for all who would later believe in him in John 17 again shows the great depths of his relationship, hallelujah, with his Father, and their unity of purpose and will. Jesus, standing as Son of God, was also seen in the most authority he revealed. He was able to cast out demons and deal with the evil spirits. The world, simply by speaking, even before the crowd, understood. The demons acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God, with power over them. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Mark 3 and 11, and then 5 and 7. He also controlled the violent storm with a command showing his authority over the whole created world. That scripture reading can be found in Matthew 8 and 24 through 27. And as Jesus revealed his unique relationship with the Father, so he began to teach his disciples more of the depths of who he is. The disciples had to learn that in Jesus, hallelujah, they could know the Father. On one occasion, Jesus turned to Philip and said, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" That scripture reading coming out of the law of John 14 and 9. He went on to say, "Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." Verse 10. We find out that Jesus never flaunted the fact that he was God, but as his teaching about himself is examined and verses like those just mentioned are seen in context, so the Christian deduction that Jesus taught that he was God in his words and deeds seem inevitable, at least to those who trust in him and accepted the word of the apostle and their interpretation of these events. The emphasis on being the Son of God, on being sent by God, on his authority as the Son of David, his acceptance of the title Christ from Peter, his teaching in John 14 and 17 of his intimate and pre-exist, John 17 and 5. The relationship with the Father all provides an accumulation of evidence that Jesus was teaching his divinity, at least to his close crowd of disciples and his friends. However, the reaction of the Jewish leader also indicated that they were beginning to grasp something of Jesus' extraordinary claims about himself. And as they accused him on several occasions as blaspheming, for example, John recounts the confrontation in 5 and 16, and Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this his very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus' response was to push his teaching about himself still further. Calling himself the Son, he said he could do nothing by himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. He talked of love of the Father, hallelujah, and for the Son, and how the Father could raise from the dead, and the Son, too, could give life to whom he pleased. Jesus was praying for himself divine prerogative and went on to list among these the facts that the Father had given him the right to judge men. "That all my honors the Son just as that they honor the Father." One of the clearest expressions of his claim to deity is found in the so-called I Am statement. When Jesus claimed to exist before Abraham and said, "Before I am" statement. When Jesus claimed to exist before Abraham and said, "Before Abraham was I am," and he was making a reference to Yahweh himself. "I am who I am." That's Exodus 3 and 14. And again, the religious leaders saw this as blasphemous, claimed to be God, and took up stones to throw at him. Jesus also caused people to begin to think of him as the Messiah, from preaching about the fulfillment of Israel's prophecy in the synagogues, through to his performing of wondrous miracles, Everything was causing the normal Jewish people to think of him as the Messiah figure. However, he also taught bit by bit that people could think of him as the Masonic figure. However, he also taught bit and bit that the usual understanding of the Messiah as a political warrior who would defeat Roman and the rulers in Jerusalem was not part of his calling. He concentrated on revealing himself as the suffering servant of his people. Hallelujah. In his discussion with his disciples, some have suggested that he preferred self-designation of Son of Man was deliberately chosen so he could fill it with his own definition of his role as the Messiah who would suffer and die. We find out that following Peter's confrontation of Jesus, hallelujah, as the Christ, we read in the law of Mark 8 and 31, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers, hallelujah, of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. But that reminds us of the Son of Man who came into the presence of God in the prophecy of Daniel. That scripture reading is coming out of Daniel 7 and 13. Perhaps it was that picture that Jesus had in mind when he said to the Jewish leader at his trial, from now on, the Son of Man will be, hallelujah, will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 22 and 69. And when Jesus showed and talked of his authority, it was always of the highest possible kind. Whether he was talking of the authority the Father had given him to judge the world, or the authority over demons and creation. He demonstrated in his miraculous work among the people. It was clearly an authority not possessed by others, and it was derived from heaven alone. The more Jesus teaching about himself is examined, the more inevitable, hallelujah, becomes the deduction that here was a perfect man who was also God. Believe and trust in Jesus, God and man. And in his words and works and teaching has become the basis for the Christian faith ever since. And we're going to leave it right there. Hallelujah. And we're going to change up the dimension of the program. And we're going to bring unto you hymns of Zion to encourage your heart and to impact your spirit. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the Oldship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Oldship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Moore, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. Till we come across these skyways and highways, you're most certainly encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Bringing unto you hymns of Zion. May God bless you till we meet again. Bye for now.
Thank you. Thank you.